proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Before Christ ascended into heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Do we realize that is the mission of the church, to evangelize the nations with the gospel, to preach the gospel? It's amazing in our study of the churches of Revelation that there is a continual problem of these churches forgetting why they exist as a church. It's sad. They either turned inward and became closed communities, speaking only to themselves and forgetting that they were to be beacons of light in the cities that God had placed them, or they turned so outward, trying to be like the world and fit in with the world, they fell into the world. Well, we're thankful you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon here with Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, continuing our study in the series in Revelation. And today, Mike, we come to the church in Philadelphia. And what an amazing church. This is really the highlight, I believe, in the study of the churches of Revelation. And maybe we begin, Mike, by just reading a little bit of the—
Sure. So Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Well, this is going to be a good church for us. The Lord wants us to think about our mission and mandate as a church, and that we're being intentional as he confronts certain fears and obstacles that this church was facing, to call them forward in trusting him to go after the opportunities that he had given to them. Now, Mike, on Abounding Grace, we have been really discussing here the importance of the three marks of a faithful church. And we've highlighted that, the pure preaching of the gospel. We looked at that last time with Sardis. The importance of the sacraments that the Lord has given to nourish his church and to feed his church, but also church discipline that we looked at with the church in Thyatira, the importance of protecting the purity and the holiness of the church. This church is really focused on the mission. The Lord is dealing with the mission of this church, but it's interesting that he starts here with keys. And I love that he does that. You know, the first thing he says is, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true." Then he quotes Isaiah 22, "He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Now, let me give a little bit of background to this and then apply this key, which is fascinating. What's interesting is that this city of Philadelphia was known as the center of Greco-Roman civilization, especially in the area of language. It was known as the center of propagating the Greek language. That was the intention of the founder. So it was heavily influencing all the cities around it. It would be similar to the phenomenon of our day, you know, that what forms the cultural trends of our day is the trash that comes out of Hollywood. But this was Philadelphia. It was heavily influential in that region, called the Keeper of the Gateway, known as sitting on the threshold of the Eastern country. Now here Christ has a church. Satan viewed this city as infecting the world with idolatry. Christ has a beautiful intention for his church there, which he strategically places there to influence the spread of the gospel. And I think that's really powerful. So it makes sense that he would say, I hold the key. What's he talking about? The key is all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He unlocks Revelation 1, the door of heaven, and he's using that imagery to encourage them that he is reigning, he holds those keys, and they can be confident in exercising those keys.
That's right. I mean, this is very much in line with his commission to the apostles to go into the world and to make disciples of him, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded them. And it also brings to mind Jesus' words to the Apostle Peter in Matthew 16, when he says, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Protestant churches, since the Reformation, have understood that to mean the preaching of the gospel. That's what opens the kingdom door or shuts it to those who don't believe, and also the exercise of church discipline, as we talked about before. Those who refuse to repent of their sins will ultimately be put out of the kingdom, even if they once made a profession of faith. So what we find is that Jesus is here again telling a church, now be faithful in that commission that I gave you. I've given you the keys. They're my keys. I hold the key, but I've given them to you. Now go and use every opportunity, every open door, to bring the gospel to the nations. And we should be thankful for that, because, you know, here we are today at the ends of the earth, so to speak, in San Diego, talking about these things, thankful for the gospel, thankful for Jesus Christ. And it's because God has caused the message of the gospel to spread across the globe, providing these open doors again and again.
That's really helpful. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus is focusing on here. He's saying your mission is to take these keys and proclaim that whoever believes in Jesus Christ and repents of his sin, they will be saved. And whoever does not will be condemned. And the amazing thing about it is the Lord is not saying he'll decide after the church has done its work. He's saying when the church faithfully exercises and does this, what is decided on earth is what is decided in heaven. And so he's encouraging this church to say, this is your mission. This is what I've set you apart to do. And so he starts with this church. I have the keys. I've given them to you. And then lo and behold, in light of what Mike said, what does he say in verse 8? I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So I just opened a door in your city in such a way, people are going to respond. Now, Mike, I find that fascinating, because all over the Bible, you know, the writers are talking about looking for doors. Mm-hmm. And Paul said that is described his work in Ephesus. He said, you know, a great and effective door has right. opened for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm staying here until Pentecost because the Lord has opened wide the door for the message. Mm-hmm. And he said this when he was in Rome under arrest. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. It's not open right now, but I need you to pray that Christ would open it. So he's telling this church, I've just opened a door in your city.
Right. And isn't that what we see throughout the book of Acts? You know, right after Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, and then ascends into heaven, gives the power of the Holy Spirit, we see those doors opening over and over again. And how do the apostles walk through that door? They preach the gospel and then they plant churches. They plant churches where the gospel continues to be preached, the sacraments are administered, discipline is exercised, so that disciples are made. That's how disciples are made. It's a lifelong process that goes on in the planting of churches. In many ways, Jesus is now telling the church at Philadelphia, after much commendation, now use that door that is opened and continue to be a mission-minded church. We want to remember that all of these letters, they are all applicable to the Church of Jesus Christ in all ages. The seven churches were seven literal churches in the first century, but the message that is given to each one of them applies to all of us. We need to listen to the rebukes, we need to listen to the commendations, and we need to be all of those things that Christ calls us to be in each of those commendations. And in this case, it's being a mission-minded church, going out, planting other churches, seeking those opportunities that God allows to open up before us, and making disciples of all the nations.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And you know, it's interesting. I think this is one of the most encouraging things to read. Number one, it gives us a good dose of the sovereignty of God. Because, at times in Acts, Mike, the Spirit prohibited Paul from even going into regions.
Closed doors.
And, you know, we don't think about that. But do we realize the door could be closed any time in a particular place, but that it will ultimately be closed for eternity? I mean, this is what Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter, not be able, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. And you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. I don't know you. Where are you from? We did all these things. The point is the Lord saying the door's open right now. And what an encouragement, you know, that he is opening the doors and that he's calling us to be faithful and intentional in going through that door and ministering to those who are right in front of us, taking the gospel to them and being intentional in that.
That's right. I mean, and isn't this just reflective of our God himself? God is a missionary God in one sense, because God the Father sent the Son, having made that covenant between the two of them before the foundations of the world, saying, now you go, my son, and fulfill all the work that I have given you to do, living a perfectly righteous life on behalf of all those whom you represent, going to the cross for their sins, being raised from the dead. Okay, Father sends the Son. Son completes his mission. He says, I've come to fulfill the work the Father gave me to do. And at the end, he says, Father, John 17, I have fulfilled all the work. I've accomplished everything that you gave me to do. Ascending into heaven, he and the Father then send the Spirit. The Spirit is poured out upon the church. The Spirit then sends the church out into the world. And so in one sense, the whole Bible is a missionary document because it's God, the missionary God, rescuing his people, and God also sending his people into the world to reach more people. I mean, isn't that how we all heard the gospel? Somebody told us the news. Someone told us the good news about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, which we could not do for ourselves. That is, live a perfectly obedient life to the law of God and to pay the debt that we owed for our sins. And now we're to make that message known throughout the world, and we're to make disciples of that message and of Jesus Christ.
And it's true, you know, that while our ministry is kind of twofold. We minister to the comforts and help God's people. I think too often churches only are built only to accommodate religious people, and it's easy to create an elaborate, self-contained subculture in which we feel safe and we don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the challenge that's really being set before them here. Think about it. You know, the Lord says, I just opened the door. And when the church was told this by Christ, I'm assuming, Mike, by the things that Christ observes here, the church was kind of reluctant to act on this opportunity. I say that because there are some real deterring factors here that are mentioned. Look at what he says in verse 8. I know that you have little strength. This was not a powerfully resourced church. My guess is, you know, we've been dealing with this. You know, who do we think does the most today? We think the church out there who has the best, all the money, the best programs, the best buildings, all that. This church was small. This church did not have all that resource. And, you know, he's saying, I know your resources are little. You know, it could have been a variety of things, you know, they were facing. Maybe they were of a lower socioeconomic status. Maybe they were poor. You know, whatever it was, Christ says, I see that. I know you're weak. And he's challenging them to think about the opportunities that he has given them. And I think verse 10 seems to indicate that something is coming economically or spiritually. We're not told, but something was coming to test those in this hour of trial that would soon come upon the whole world. The Christians were about to get heavily persecuted. Mm-hmm. And if anything you do at that time, what do you do when you're facing these things, Mike? You retreat. We retreat. We don't have the resources. We don't have the money. We get back and we cower. And the Lord's saying, no, this is the time. Go. Everything should be viewed as an opportunity.
Right. And remembering where our power is, as he says that you have little power. Well, the power is never in ourselves. The power is, yes, it's good to have money and resources to pay minister and to have those things available. But, you know, we always have to remember that the power is not in men. Right. The power is in the message. The power is in the gospel. As Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That's what he says right at the beginning of his magnum opus, his letter to the Romans. The power to change a sinner's heart, to bring him from darkness to light, to bring him from unbelief to true faith, is in the gospel. It's in the message. That is what Christ has given to us. And he says, now go. You've got the keys. You've got an open door. Now proclaim that gospel. It doesn't mean that we'll always be able to establish a church with a nice building or have all of the pretty adornments in that way. But really, the power is never in those things to begin with. It's in the message. And we need to bring that message to the ends of the world.
You know, I find this fascinating. Remember that vision Paul received in the night, a man, a massive Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over and help us. You know, I think that was a door that was opened. And we need to view people outside of the kingdom as asking that question. Come help us. They need help. They need the gospel preached to them. This is God's answer to their misery. This is God's answer to their fallen state. But here's what moves me about the passage, Mike. I guess what strikes me about this passage the most is who the door is open to. You know, look at what he's going to do in verse 9. Indeed, I will make those who are a synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not but lie, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. So there's this awful struggle here between Jew and Gentile. The early church faced this. We don't really know about this today like we should. The Jews believed they were the true Israel. The Lord here is saying, my Israel of God is made up of all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. And Paul said through that mystery of the preaching of the gospel, the Jews would be provoked to jealousy. Well, that's what happened here. But guess what the Lord said? I'm going to bring a whole bunch of ethnic Jews through your witness. They're going to come and they're going to worship me. I'm going to bring them to your feet. What do you think the Christians in Philadelphia said to that initially? I'm assuming it went something like this. You open the door to them? Do we? No, it can't be them, Mike. I mean, come on. They're not the kind of people we really think we should be out going after. So sometimes, Mike, the open door is not to the situations and the people that we think it should be.
Right. I mean, think of Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like them, and he didn't want God's mercy to be shown upon them. And, it, you know, sometimes we might think, well, how could anybody think that way? Well, let's put it this way for a second. Pick your favorite bad guy, Hitler, Saddam Hussein, someone that is guilty for all kinds of atrocities, okay? Osama bin Laden, or let's take this gentleman that had kidnapped and tortured three ladies for over 10 years, did atrocious things, raped them repeatedly. When they became pregnant, he starved them and beat them in the abdomen so they would miscarry. He even then had the audacity to go around and pass out flyers, pretending to be a good neighbor, pretending that he was concerned for their well-being, even going to some of their vigils and comforting their parents. I mean, what kind of diabolical evil is that? Now, do we want the gospel to come to that guy? Would we want to see him? Now, I'm not saying he's not responsible for what he did. He is responsible, and he and the state will have to exercise the sword. But do we want to see a guy like that saved? Do we want to see people like that come to Christ? The door is open, and it's for everyone. And this means that our churches then are going to be made up of people from all different walks of life, from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ethnicities, you name it. just as we don't get to pick our biological brothers and sisters, we don't get to pick our spiritual brothers and sisters either and say, oh, I like him or I like this group of people. Let's bring the gospel to them. No, when we go out and proclaim the gospel, it does its work. It is the power of God unto salvation, and it then creates a new family. People who are very different in their consumer preferences, their cultural practices, maybe even their political affiliations, but we are united in the truth that we confess in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's helpful. And you know, I think we have to think a little bit strategically about the kind of door the Lord has opened to us today. You know, what a challenge in our day. Where are we seeing the door opened living here in North America in our time in a post-Christian culture? Well, I think what we're seeing take place is a Christianity on burnout. Due to all kinds of extremes, everyone's looking for relevancy, sincerity. And when the power of the church has been so centered on human wisdom, you create a lot of expectation that has burnout because you've removed the source of strength. Well, what has that created today, Mike? You have a lot of very disillusioned people. And I see a door there. I see a door there. You know, we got to go back. You have people who need to hear the Christian gospel all over again. We today have assumed people get it. They don't. You got to go back to the basics, the doctrines of grace, the love of God, see it in power and get and attack the superficial externalism that is so promoted today. I'm just saying we have to think through the opportunities that are put in front of us today and not just assume the way we have in the past. And that gets, Mike, you know, to the whole calling of the ministry is that we are to preach the word in season and out of season. You know, it's easy when it's in season. It's hard when it's out of season.
Right. And Jesus alludes to that very thing right here where he says in verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Now, we know from the New Testament that there will be some sort of intense kind of persecution and trial that will come just before the visible return of Jesus Christ. But also, we live in tribulation even now. Jesus said that in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And John says the same thing, I, your brother and companion in the kingdom, patient endurance and tribulation of Jesus Christ. So we live in a world where there is much tribulation, but that never means that we stop our mission. We are to continue in our mission of making disciples throughout the ends of the earth and bringing the gospel to all people, even when we're being persecuted. And isn't it interesting that often the church does best in its mission when it is being persecuted? As Tertullian said, you know, the early church father, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It seems sometimes that when we have things so comfy and we live in such a comfortable affluence that the church doesn't do so well. We tend to be a little more shallow. But when we are in that hour of trial, then it's those times that the gospel seems to go out with much more clarity, much more vibrancy.
Well, and I think Jesus taught that in John 4 when the disciples go into Samaria, and what do they bring out to him? Food. And he says, I have a food to eat of which you do not know. And this woman had gone into Samaria, and all of a sudden they look up, and there's all these people coming out to the Lord. And he says, look up. The fields are white for the harvest. At that moment when he said that, he was not talking about crops. He's talking about these white-robed Samaritans who are walking out and they're looking at these people coming to them. And, you know, get your eyes off your bellies. It's not about physical food. It's about doing the food that God has given us to do. And that food is the mission that he gave to his church when he commanded us to be faithful in taking his gospel to the ends of the earth.
Right. And so again, we would ask our listeners, you know, are you in a church that is concerned about bringing the gospel to the world? Not just evangelism, which is important, but also planting churches and making disciples of Jesus Christ through the faithful preaching of that gospel week in and week out.
Interesting that he says, he makes a promise here, and he says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. You ever seen those pillars in Athens and Rome? You know, you see these pillars today that still stand. The Lord is saying, you'll be a pillar in the temple of my God. And what a beautiful imagery the Lord is giving us, telling us he's going to write a new name on us. So he's saying that, you know, take advantage of every open door in the hours that you've been given to advance this gospel. And we say, be a part of a church that is faithfully doing that and advancing that and cares to do that. That is the mission and the mandate that Christ has given to us. Well, we're thankful you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today, and we invite you to go to the website at agradio.org, learn more about who we are and what we believe. The podcasts there are free for download. There are maps to the churches and a way online to donate if you would like to do so. All donations go to the cost of the program. Thanks for taking the time to tune in. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.